shayla.
If he is far superior, yeah.
It's okay. No shayla.
Then I've come across, where people say there's a mystical thing. The film doctor, he may be, okay, I'm exaggerating, you don't write this, he could be incompetent. Because he's Shomer Shabbat, Hashem will help him to succeed the operation. Pick him over the world-class non-Jewish. I've read it, I've seen it.
Reb Chaim Brisker would kick you out head first.
I know, it's Hasidut. I think it's Hasidut.
I'll come to that next week. Next I week. Have it. I told you I have something special. All right. First of all, I apologize. I have a cold and my voice is not normal, but Be'ezrat Hashem will be able to give this year. Today is Monday, the 24th of February, and I just, 2020, I just saw a sign this morning on Rehov Chenkovsky that the Herzog of Berlin will be blocked until the 27th. So I just have... 3 more days to go. It's you know, I can't get out of my street. It's just unbelievable. And then they're moving further up. But they're right, at least they're working around the clock, so they're serious. A good morning to everybody, listening, and everybody in front of me. And I already got comments on yesterday's shiur. It's amazing how quickly, if Yomo is reliable, the results are beautiful. Now, Jack asked again, coming back to Rabbi Rachman and the whole controversy with Hafkat Kedushin, and I'm caught up, there's things going on right now with the Beit Din, Rabbi Krauss's Beit Din, and I know a little bit what's going on. The big problem with Rabbi Rachman is he left the impression that there's a magic means called Hafkat Kedushin that you can use widespread to solve these problems. And that is not correct. Hafkat Kedushin does exist. There were instances where it was applied. How much we can apply it today is questionable. A guy named Rakefit gave hundreds of hours of shurim on the topic. Part of it is published in Chelik Dalet. But it's not like Blue Greenberg says, if there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. And this is the heart of the issue. Mekach Tod, Reb Moshe, the Masham, have a whole history of people who relied upon it. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud at the bottom, Kuf Yud Aleph at the top, seems to imply Mekach Tod would be a reasonable reason to say there was no marriage. So a lot to talk about that Gemara. I spoke about it. Remember, the Gemara is dealing with chlitza. It's not dealing with a regular get. But we're limited. It's not that we can take every aguna and solve the problem. And that's the problem with what Rabbi Rachman did. As far as Blue Greenberg, so I just want to quote to you Stephen Wagner, a student from Woodmere, his nephew, who comes to the Sunday class. So it seems that I said in class, so I quoted something, when there is a rabbinic way, when there is a rabbinic will, there is a rabbinic way. He said to me, the quote is much worse than that. When there is a rabbinic will, there is a halachic way. And it seems that's what she said. There's not much difference, but he feels that halachic tells you right away that there's no objective halacha, there's no naseh v'nishma, it's totally malleable, totally flexible. I also want to comment on Rabbi Rachman. I was outside general counsel to Bar Ilan for almost 20 years and saw Rabbi Rachman very often during those years. We had great conversations, even though we came from very different perspectives. But Rebbe, this means me, is right on the mark by saying he was a Lamdan. And when he and I spoke privately, he reverted back to being a Rav as opposed to a rabbi. I remember we once got into a rather heated argument on a halachic position he took. And at the end he looked at me like he was disappointed and said in these words exactly, quote, "But Steve, it's beforish in the Meiri. Don't tell me you don't know that Meiri," end quote. I told him that was the greatest thing I ever heard him say. He laughed and gave me a hug, not natural for him. We disagreed about everything, but I loved the man. And that's very, makes me feel good, because you see, my take on Rabbi Rachman is accurate. And something else that he told me, which is just amazing. If you recall, I said in last week's shiur that Rabbi David Hollander and Rabbi Moshe Scherer were brothers-in-law. I'm quoting from his letter. It's less well known that Rabbi Fortman had a third daughter, Anne, who was married to my great uncle. In other words, Effie Wagner's great great uncle is the husband of the third daughter of Rabbi Fortman. David Bienenfeld, I think you recognize the name Bienenfeld. They were very successful business-wise. Maiden form Bra was Bienenfeld. Uncle Dave was born in Prusnitz in Galicia and was a businessman who lived most of his life in Far Rockaway. Of course, he never achieved the fame of his more well-known brothers-in-law and did not seek it. He was a businessman, not a rabbi. He lived a relatively simple life, raising three daughters. If my memory is correct, Aunt Anne remained close with her sisters until the end. So it's the three Fortman girls, and each one married, remained Shomrei Torah Mitzvah. You got to give all the credit in the world. Now, if you recall when we quoted Rabbi David Hollander, he was being interviewed, and they then interviewed Rabbi Bernard Zlotowitz. Remember, and Rabbi Zlotowitz tells the story, he was in the audience, Rabbi Hollander wouldn't call him Rabbi, Dr. Zlotowitz. And I said in class, gee, I wonder if this is any relationship to the man that we owe our lives to, Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz. Believe it or not, this came in from Shaya Fenish. The Reform Rabbi Bernard Zlotowitz was in fact the eldest brother of Art Scroll's Meir, wow. Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz. They were 20 years apart. Bernard was the eldest of five children of Rabbi Aaron Zlotowitz. Right. Meir was the younger. All right? Unbelievable. Just like Rabbi Scherer, Harry Scherer and Mara Scherer. Wow. You can't think of... I knew both of them. Hard to believe that they were brothers. Raised by the same mother who was a tzaddikit, but that's the way the ball bounces. Now, I want to thank my student, the Rebbe Nachum Shmayahu. I have the volume, I've quoted it. He said there's a very nice piece in Rabbi Palayev's memoir on Emanuel Rachman. And I'm quoting from the unpaged volume. It was never published properly. It was just published for family and friends. And you got to remember that Rabbi Palayev knew Rabbi David Rachman, his father, from Slutsk yet. They go back to Slutsk. These are Slutska, Slutsk, which became Kletz, which became Lakewood. I'm sure, Charlie, part of your family is in Lakewood today. I'm not wrong, but it doesn't take much chachma because Lakewood has everyone. It's 9,000 students there. It's 6,000, whatever. It's 9 different Batei Medrash. It's beyond words. Okay, so he tells the story. David Rachman, I'm quoting Rabbi Palayev now, father of Emanuel Rachman, was another chavar from the Slutsky Yeshiva. He was older than I was. I didn't really know him well, but I got to know him much better in America. He was a Talmud Chacham and a fine Lamdan by the time he came to America. David's original name was Rachman Levitch, but it became Rachman here in America. Now, does anyone recognize that name? The most famous medical doctors. There's a street in Piskatzev Mizrach, Rehov Rachmalevich. When I came in Aliyah, I had a student, I don't want to mention his name, although it's all to his credit. He had some incurable form of leukemia, cancer, as a teenager. and he was healed, and it was a textbook case. All the doctors knew about it. It was written up in the literature. And when he came to BMT, which changed his life, what I spoke about yesterday, whenever he had a cold, he went to see the famous Dr. Rachmalovitz. Rachmalovitz said, whenever you sneeze, you come to see me. He was following up. It was the interest, not just the patient, but the medical history. So I'm willing to bet now that the Rachmans are related to the famous Rachmalovitz. The son may still be alive, but it has to be checked at Hadassah if there's a Dr. Rachmalovitz on the staff. Okay. He married into a family by the name of Manashevitz. You recognize the name. He's married to a niece, I believe, of the founder of Manashevitz. These were from people, good people. Settled in Albany, New York, where he went into business and was very successful. Correct. He never was an official rabbi in Albany, but whenever there arose halakha question of some difficulty in the area, the rabbis always referred to him for a decision. That was because, to his credit, even though he was a businessman, he spent a good deal of his time in learning. All right? He never gave it up. Mendel studied in our yeshiva. When David first brought him to my class, he introduced me to him with a comment that Mendel's Emmanuel, obviously, does not understand a single word of Yiddish. I don't know how he's coming to understand, how he's going to understand you. I asked him, yes, David Rachman, what language does he understand? English, of course, he said, and Hebrew. Let's see, I said with a smile. He doesn't know Yiddish, I don't know English, we'll get along very well. Let him enter my class. And what does that remind you? My comment in seventh grade, I didn't know a word of Yiddish, and my Rebbeim didn't know a word of English. It worked out. And he tells something very interesting here. It was my practice in my class to make a siyum every time we completed the study of a tractate of Talmud. In those years, we would begin a new mesechet at the end of each school year. Thus, we only learned the first part of a mesechet and really completed it. When Mendel was in my class, we happened to complete a mesechet around Hanukkah time. Since he was a superior student, I asked him if he would present the Hadron to the class. He said he was honored that I had chosen him, and he would be glad to present it. But speaking in Yiddish was rather difficult for him. Rebbe, if I had a choice, and I have your permission, I would prefer to speak in Hebrew. I would feel much more at ease. I agreed, and Manny delivered a Hadron that was a delight to listen to. I still remind him occasionally of this Hadron, which I later published in one of my Sfarim. I believe it was Orach Hamisha. And very nice memory of Rabbi Rachman. And then he goes on and he talks about Reb Zelig Fortman, who also was a Slutska. And here, I don't want to go into detail, he describes, this is the typical American scene, there were two Slutska Rabbanim in Far Rockaway, and they never got along. And this was the tragedy, Rabbanim were dependent for Panasa upon the Balabatim. When the rabbi opened next door, it's like having a pizza place. Here and a minute away, another pizza place. There are all types of halacha on this, but it doesn't apply to the rabbinate. But Bet Torah, you don't have a limit. But he describes Far Rockaway. And never, it's sad to see what went on. And as much as Rabbi Paleyev tried to bring them together and make friends, he never succeeded. And it's a life description without any prejudice of a friend of theirs. Here I want to make a comment. He describes the Yeshiva University, and I have to tell you what I said at the end of the shiur yesterday. I've gotten further confirmation, and I'm shaking because the people are now talking of separating the yeshiva from the university, becoming two totally separate institutions. If it comes up with more force in the public venue, I'll open up my mouth loud and clear. But right now I'm just telling you what I'm hearing from reliable people, the top people on the yeshiva scene. Listen, the homosexual, they went to the government against the yeshiva. They mamash halshana in the full sense of the word. So Rabbi Palev is describing what happened almost 95 years ago, almost 95 years, and it was, you know, big news. Then the Mechita died, and where do you get an Adam Gadol to succeed the Mechita? And Reb Shimon had it to happen to be in America, and as you know, Reb Shimon agreed to become the Rosh Yeshiva. She was his Kohanim. I have the contract actually in my possession. They gave him $10,000 a year, out of which he took three, and $7,000 went to Grodno, to the yeshiva there, that his son and son-in-law were running. And then, of course, a year later, Reb Shimon goes back. He goes back, let's say, August of 1929, and December of 1929, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik gives his first shiur in Yeshiva Shir B'Skol Chanan. Now, why did Rav Shimon leave? And here he gives the theory that Rav Shimon, pressure was on him, come back, the yeshiva's falling apart. That's correct. That I absolutely will sign off on. I heard it from Rav Shmuel Belkin and told to me 60 years ago with Meisich Lefi Tumo. You understand? Absolutely correct. Reb Chaim Oizer and Chafetz Chaim wrote to Reb Shimon, your son is not you, your son-in-law is not you. If you don't come back, the yeshiva will fall apart. But then Rabbi Palev adds on that probably YU, what we call YU today, was happy that Reb Shimon went back because he didn't want to have two kings in one institution. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dabo l'da v'lo shnei davarim l'da. And Reb Moshe was coming. Reb Moshe was supposed to come all along. Read Rakefet, I tell you the whole story. He was delayed. Why was he delayed? An anti-Semitic embassy in United States Embassy in Warsaw, he had an ingrown toenail operation, and they said, oh, this is a major operation, we can't let you go to America till it's totally healed. And then Reb Moshe finally came in December 1929, gives his first year, Alatmat Atzot Abrit. I have to tell you, my research, it turned up a different feeling altogether. Rabbi Revel would have been the happiest person in the world to have Reb Shimon and Reb Moshe under one roof. Every yeshiva in Europe had, you take Slabodka, the Levush Mordechai, the Mashgiach, the Alt of Slabodka, Mir, Rav Kamai, Rav Finkel, Tells, Rabinovich, the Bloch brothers. You had, all right, Baruch Hashem, why are you today? Rav Heschel Schechter, Rav Mordechai Willick, Rav Meir Twester. Baruch Hashem, Sefeltnish, Gedoylem. And if the three Gedoylem under one roof can't get along with each other, it tells us something about these Gedoylem. Torat Hashem Tamimah. The Gris Kolel, you know, people say, well, you're too small to have machlokes. I say, no, it's deeper than that. If you know Reb David Miller, you know Rav Asaf Bednash. We're Talmidim of Reb Aaron Lichtenstein. I'm here the elder, I'm a Talmud of the Rav. Baruch Hashem, we can have all the different hashkafas in the world. We're here to teach Torah, and everyone is free to choose what they wish. So that part, I don't think is correct. And Rav Palev lived it. It could be. It was a consideration, people spoke, but the heart, as the heart of the issue, I don't think it's correct. Let me go one drop further. I have a feeling we talk in class, people are listening, and many times what we talk about in class, suddenly you see, it's published. Did anyone see your Teid Ne'eman last week? I thank my Talmid David Sapir. Here it is, David Hollander. Word by word, David Hollander being interviewed, speaking about his life. Not a lie, but they're taking it exactly what we said in class. So my take on Rabbi Rachman and Rabbi Hollander, Baruch Hashem, I'm right on. I'm objective. Later, not I don't know if today or maybe even today, you'll see I'm going to reach an area where I'll admit in advance I'm not objective already. I'm subjective. But I have to tell it to you because it's part of history, but you don't have to believe one word I'm saying. You can interpret it as you wish. Now, we're with Louis Bernstein. Louis Bernstein, again, was not Rabbi Rachman. Rabbi Rachman was a Talmud Chacham. He went into law. His PhD thesis, do you remember it? The emergence of the Israeli Constitution. I remember it like yesterday. And it was a brilliant piece of work. All right, one man's Judaism. There's no question that Rabbi Rachman was very left in his halakhic thinking. Rabbi Louis Bernstein was not the overwhelming scholar. You're not going to have him take on Rabbi David Hollander on a halakhic basis. But there's no question that he becomes the dominant personality that the RCA ever had. No one but no one was ever elected president three different times and died while president the third time. Louis Bernstein, you had to know him somewhat. He was character par excellence, always filled with spirit, always running. Could teach in class, occasionally go off and maledict like a sailor in front of the students, let them know what he thinks of this one, of that one. He was a personality. I loved him. As much as I differed on the OU Synagogue Council issue, but as a person, I liked what his children, and not easy. His kids, not easy to grow up with a father like that. They say his mother, when she, his wife, widowed, remarried later, so people told me, now she has menuchat ha-nefesh, you understand? He was always in motion, in action. Terrific writer, popular writer, always the editor, was the editor of Commentator. With all due respect to Dov Pinchard, he, they say, was the greatest editor Commentator ever had. Wherever he got involved, rabbinical council, he was the editor of there at that time. It's before the computer. It was called the RCA Record. He got involved with Mizrahi, was the editor of Jewish Horizon. You remember Jewish Horizon? It was the publication of our poem Mizrahi. Later, he wrote popular articles for Jewish Press. Louis Bernstein was always in the public sphere. However, he got involved with two tremendous conflicts. One is a simple conflict. One is a much, much deeper event, which begs today, 30 years later, more than 30 years later, it begs today for someone to do a proper doctorate. What were the two conflicts? Well, the 1985 conflict wound up in the obituary in the New York Times. They talk about his life. 1985, he invited the president of the Rabbinical Assembly, Rabbi Shapiro, Alexander M. Shapiro, to speak at the Rabbinical Council of America convention. There evidently was an agreement. Rabbi Bernstein would address the RA and Rabbi Shapiro would address the RCA. No, I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about this? Look at the statement you're making that Rabbi Shapiro is a valid rabbi. The conservative movement is a valid branch. It's an open example of pluralism. I have to tell you that this created a tremendous storm. There was staunch opposition to Rabbi Bernstein. And here, I'm citing from a blog by my dear student, Mark Shapiro. And he came up with documents. I'm holding in my hand a letter sent to Rabbi Bernstein, signed by one of the most respected and beloved Rosh Yeshiva in Reitz, Rabbi Nissim Alpert. The late Mr. Eliezer, I spoke about your family, and oh my gosh, a message for Effie and you, and I hope you'll pick it up in the recording. Your wife, I'm positive, will hear it, but I don't want you to be in motion and keep away from travel right now. He scared us out of our wits yesterday. He gets a call in class, he pops out, he comes back in with a big package. Right away I asked him, is that from China? Baruch Hashem, it was from the USA. Ellie, we love you. Now, let me come back to the history of Reitz. 1962, the big building known as First Hall was finished and opened. At that moment, YU practically doubled in size in students in all the branches, the high school, the college. They needed more Rosh Yeshiva. It was still Reitz at the time. It's not the split today that's MTA. That split happens gradually. But at that point in 62 was Reitz. Reitz needed more Rosh Yeshiva. Four new Rosh Yeshiva were appointed at that moment. It was the first time ever that the yeshiva appointed so many new people at once. Unfortunately, only one of the four is still alive, kicking, fuming, laughing, crying. You're looking at him. But there were three others, much more important and well-known. One of them was a YU graduate, Rabbi Dr. Goldstein, a name related to Harris Gedalia, the Gedalia family. It ties in together. I think he was married to a Gedalia, whatever. He was a YU graduate, had a PhD. I don't know what he did. He might have been in the rabbinate before. Maybe he was teaching, but this was a big appointment, Rabbi Goldstein. The third person was a fremder. But Rabbi Belkin was always looking for talent. And this individual happened to be Rabbi Louis Isby, a Teira Vadas product. It could be a Bnei Yisrael product. His brother-in-law was Rav Gedalia Shah. Teira Vadas was caught up in heavy politics at that moment. You won't read about it in the 100th anniversary volume, but unfortunately, some people still know about it, yours truly included, because Louis Isby was my closest friend among the Rosh Yeshiva. There's a lot of conflict going on. I don't want to go into anything now. It has to be researched. If it ever can be researched, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky made the following statement about someone whose name I want to leave out. I said, I can never forgive this man for turning me into a politician, quote, end quote. Politics, Rosh Yeshiva, this, that. Louis Isby was very unhappy, and because he was the brother-in-law of one of the main protagonists, Rabbi Gedalia Shaw, who was an Adam Gadol, Rabbi Belkin lifted him out and brought him into YU. And he was the happiest guy in the world. He would tell me time and again, you don't know how fortunate you are to be a Rebbe here. No politics, we get paid on time. The Rosh Yeshiva are friendly with each other, etc., etc. Fine. Who was the fourth person brought in? Rabbi Nissim Alpert. If you never, do you, and no, don't remember the name? Baruch Hashem, Vic is smiling. He was your Rebbe. He was the son-in-law, no? Tell the class.
Rabbi Scheinberg.
He's the one, Rabbi Scheinberg. That's Rabbi Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's son-in-law. Rabbi Nissim Malki was a Talmid Muvak of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Kol Raz Lo Anislet. With all due respect to Rakefa, to Rothkopf and Goldstein and Isby, Rabbi Albert was a Gaon Adia. And he connected us to Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe David Tendler's on the faculty. It was a whole connection to Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe was a living presence in Yeshivas Kibbutz Kol Hanan. And Rabbi Albert wrote a letter. You cry when you read it. And here I have to admit I'm prejudiced. There is no one you will ever meet that has more hard and bad feeling for conservative reform than yours truly. No one you will ever meet. I was in the rabbinate. I saw with my own eyes the churban they brought on Klal Yisrael. Do you call me an extremist? I don't know. I don't think I'm extreme. Lehefek. The most open-minded person in the world, as far as I see my Talmidim, all the way from the Torah Kata to Torah V'Avota. But Torah's Torah. And this letter, I don't want to read the whole letter, but he says, I'm quoting a beautiful Hebrew, Tmuna achat shel rosh ha-conservativim b'hatzato b'kinisat histadrut ha-rabbanim. Kame gedol laharos amudei hadat yoter me'elef drashot. V'yitein cherev lesoneinu ha-conservativim b'medinat Yisrael v'lidrosh mi-memshala shavyon gamur l'chol inyanei hadat ki lama l'shemin peres v'od misarei ha-medina v'chavrei ha-knesset ha-antidatiyim. Lama lahachmir yoter mehanasi, ovad hanasiut, vahairgun, shel histadrut harabanim. The elef amatlot, ein bechem lebatel tmuna achat, vikedai bizayon, viketsev. And what he's saying here is very simple. One picture, you can have 1,000 drushes, the conservatives, this, that, the other. One picture of Rabbi Shapiro shaking hands with Rabbi Bernstein at the RCA convention tells you pluralism. This is the problem with Limud. I told you I was asked in England when I speak at Limud. I said, only if the chief rabbi allows me. All right, the answer took me out of the picture. But I told them, Limud means, in this door, Rakefet is speaking, in this door, the conservative rabbi, in this door, the reform. Here you have someone who was Meshamesh Gedole Gedole Yisrael, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yisrael Leo Henkin, Mori Rebbe Hamufak, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. And here you have a female rabbi who's a humanist, doesn't believe in God, who's a lesbian, who's not even Jewish, only her father was Jewish. No? What kind of message is this? But I got to tell you, Limud, Rabbi Lamb went, and their attitude is, no, everyone knows that Orthodox conservative reform, we're different, but it's a chance to teach what Torah is. All right, there's something to it. But an RCA convention, you're taking Rabbi Shapiro, and you're accepting him as your compatriot, as your colleague. Wow. It's a very powerful letter. V'im chas v'chalil yishem matzav k'mo shehu ein ani ro'eh eich efshali u'legedolim mimeni v'yishe'er chaveh b'istadrut harabanim shenotnu yad l'poshim v'chizku et yadam v'nitrachaku me'shlomei emunei Yisrael. And you see what he's saying? And this is something I've said all along. I can be the biggest wise guy in the world. I can come up with the Pilpulum. I can be Mater Agunet. I have in my track record, you all know I was Mater and Agunet, Rav Avadya Yosef, fine, good. But when all is said and done, are you willing to split with the Jews in Borough Park, B'nai Brak, the Jews in the five towns, Yerushalayim? We're going to come up with a shul where the women are going to lay in, are going to have aliyah. You can come up, all right, you come up. What Kavod HaTzibur means. Are you willing to split and make this break? We're Torah Jews. The greatness of Torah Jews is that we can eat in each one's home. We come up and move away. We're convinced we're right. The split is irrevocable. It's very sad. Essentially, that's what he's saying. I'm leaving RCA. The other Rabbanim who are greater than me are leaving RCA. What, and are you willing to... Excuse me? Nissen Alpert. Yeah, here in Nissen Lippa Alpert. Dove, take a look at...
He was a member of RCA?
He was a member of RCA, of course. And this was a tremendous machlokes. Louis Bernstein became famous because when he spoke at the RCA convention and he was supported by the executive, by majority vote, when he spoke at the RCA convention, he said, what's important is to be right and not just to listen to the right. I'm paraphrasing it, but that was the quote. It was in the New York Times. In other words, when the obituary, that's what they quoted of Louis Bernstein. Important to be right and not to listen to the right. But you see what you're touching upon here is the heart of the issue. Now, Louis Bernstein also quoted that he spoke with the Rav. And here I can tell you, absolutely dismissed that. Even if he did speak with the Rav in 1985, it's the final year of his semi-active life. He was in and out of it all the time. I was with the Rav in 83, eye to eye, hand to hand, shoulder to shoulder. I carried him, spoke with him. I saw the matzav. It got much worse. All of you know that Hanukkah 1985 was the last shiur the Rav gave, the last time he left Boston. There are very sad stories of what happened afterwards. And then Atara, his devoted daughter and son-in-law, Rav Yitzchak, made the decision, let them remember the Rav as he was, not as he is. The Rav never again was allowed to appear in public. But it's a sad story, yes? I don't want to repeat it. Let the world, after class if you want.
You've told it, it's on.
I don't want to tell it now. I'm a little older and a little, it just tortures me because I've seen the greatest minds and what becomes of them. Morty, we got to be thankful. We're on the level of a sechvi, but at least God gives us bina. Okay. The next problem that Louis Bernstein got involved with,
But he did speak with Rabbi Shapiro.
Yeah, of course. He did. He had the majority of the executive behind him. And you understand, the echo of what happened in 85 lives on in RCA until today. Rabbinical Alliance has resuscitated itself. They tell me it has hundreds and hundreds of members today. And it's, they don't want to be part of RCA. The Cherem against the Board of Rabbis, Cherem against Synagogue Council, Shapiro. But what I'm about to touch upon is infinitely more important than what happened in 85. And this is 89, 90. I lived it, I felt it. Again, I admit I'm not objective. I'm not objective at all. It has to be researched and taken care of properly. Published, understood. The government of Israel has had one tremendous problem. The problem exists today. I spoke about it yesterday. I don't know if anyone in this room is eligible. Everyone here is an Israeli. Thank God. If you're not an Israeli, please vote for Mizrahi. The Israeli government has one tremendous problem. The government couldn't care less originally about religion. If anything, if Ben-Gurion would have had his way, he would have abolished religion altogether. He came from Shema Shabbos home. He knew what Torah was about. But led by his wife, Paula, it's a new world. We're getting rid of the Gullus Jew. Religion is part of Gullus. Baruch Hashem, we're creating a new Jew. A new state, we're normalizing. I'm quoting Bamir, you know what I'm quoting right now. We're normalizing the people. This is the fallout of the second Aliyah. Learn about the second Aliyah. That shaped Israel originally. And their influence still lives on today, 106 years later. All right, but he had a problem. There were a vociferous minority of Frum Jews. You got to remember the Holocaust survivors, the Chassidim, the Mitnagdim, the Mizrachistim, that they were from. Well, on this there's a Machlokes HaPoskim, what was really in Ben-Gurion's mind, but the majority opinion seems to be he felt they'll disappear within 20 years. Throw them a few bones. And he did throw a few bones, some small, some very, very big. The army kosher. His famous talk in the Knesset 49, we'll have an army that on the Chagorah, I don't know how to say that in English, the army belt, there'll be room for bullets, grenades, and tefillin for those who want. I'm quoting him. It was a very famous talk. I've lectured about it in depth. It's not for now, but this was Ben-Gurion. Gave us a much bigger bone, chuppah v'kedushin in the hands of the rabbinate. And he understood from his youth that a frum Jew can never accept mamzeret. In order for us to remain one people, we have to have one standard. All right, through that bone, through this bone. Ben-Gurion absolutely hated the Reform Jews. Why? Because he understood, they led, the Rakefet said to you when they took the Mechitza down, it led to millions of Jews assimilating and walking away. I don't have to go further than Bernie Sanders. You can kill Jews wholesale, that doesn't bother him, but you heard him this morning. The Jews have a right to life, and the Palestinians have a right to life. Yeah, look at Gush Katif, look at the record, look what happened every time we moved away and foolishly gave up land and security. How many lives we buried, including my own Talmidim, family, injuries, God have mercy. He hated the Reform, would never go into a Reform temple. And he wasn't the only one. They had no religion, they had no God, but they understood the tragedy of Reform and conservative. But then time marches on, and the Torah takes roots here. Not only takes roots, it thrives. Not only does it thrive, they have political power. You all see how Netanyahu joined forces with Shas, with Agudah. It's unbelievable. Rakefet, a week ago, said vote. And said, you have a choice. I'm going to take that back later. My daughters gave me hell. And an article just appeared. Then I read the article. If you want to vote for a frum party, there's only one frum party to vote for. Tav. Bet. The party that today inherited Mizrahi. The Lubavitcher Rebbe always said, "Minzovalin for the frumste party." You vote for the frumest party. I say the same thing now. Vote for the frumest party. Aguda and Shas are only a b'dieved. They don't have a candle to the achievements of the Mizrahi. Built Israel, built Yehuda the Shomron, stood in front of the world proud, this is our land. Think back to Oslo, think back to Gush Katif, think back to the Gerer Rebbe, the vote, what happened then? Gotta rip Korea when you think that. These are frum Jews? Self-centered Jews, not frum. Frum kind means Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Al Pi Torah Yisrael. The ability to sacrifice, to create an army, run an army. It's an article in Makari Shon, the Aguda is trying to get the Yehuda V'Shomron vote, and Pindrus goes in and he speaks in one of the yeshivim, and he pokes fun at guns, at the army. You never served in the army. These people saved your life. You can be opposed to guns, but don't poke fun of him. Chief of staff, his whole life lying in the ground, fighting. And I can tell you, my grandson, I got a report already. He's in officer's training. So he confirmed, but very interesting. There was just a fallout ceremony, it was in the newspapers, for the officers of Lochamim, the fighters. My grandson told me the kippot were overwhelming, way more than 50%. He's in officers training, tomchei lechima, it's logistics. He's in weapons development, he's in what the army wanted, right? He was an atudai. This is weapons development, this is computers, intelligence. He says at the most the kippot are 15%. These are people who, well, very simple, bright people. The army paid for their education. It's fabulous. Studied what the army wants. It's not the fighters. The fighters, he said the kippot were overwhelming. His cause? 10 to 15. He says 15% at most. No, they have a million, they have, you just can't have everything. That's fine, that's good. He said the bases run, they daven slowly. They have an order from the head of the base not to rush in davening. He thinks he's a shasnik who's running the base. I had another grandson, a Chovesh Kravi. He was the top Chovesh Kravi in the army. Got a big award. We were all there at the ceremony. And the mafakeid of all the Chovshim Kraviim, an aluf mishneh with a beard, a shvate guy, gave a talk with chazal. I thought it was in a yeshiva hearing mashgiach speak, telling them to be loyal to what they're doing. The chovesh kravi, the mitzvah involved, the gemilat chesed, the army, the yeshiva aretz, etc. But gentlemen, come back here. But now today, the government has a tremendous problem because the people involved in running the country are second and third and fourth generation. They never saw a shul in their life. They never opened up a sitter in their life. And they view, yeah, Rakefet's a nice guy. What's wrong with the conservative? What's wrong with the reform? They contribute money. They took over the Jewish agency. You're only sitting here because they took over the Jewish agency. They got rid of the Torah Culture Fund, got rid of BMT, got rid of gold. BMT's out, the building. It's ours today. Originally this building was all BMT. The Kollel was just a little afterthought, no program. They went to the second year classes. They attended Rakefet's class, Nechama Leibovich, etc. Why do we gotta fight with them? Go and explain to them what Chilul Shabbos. These are people, go to Tel Aviv on Shabbos, you don't see a trace of Shabbos on the streets. And it's amazing, there's shuls all over the place. Kirov, here's our Sameach, here's Yakan, here's one Chabad, Messianics, crazy, here's a normal Chabad. Wow. So, what's going on? Why are we fighting? becoming reformed conservative. All right. You're all aware of this problem. It's right on our agenda today. Our dear guns spoke about buses on Shabbos just last week. Conservative, reform, pluralism. So Satma Chassid, that's what he comes from. The Satma can be proud of what they raised. Okay. All right, the Holocaust interfered. I'm not criticizing anyone. But nevertheless, he's a Satma Chassid. The biggest problem came up, and it haunts us until today. But as Torah grows stronger, as Eli votes properly, one more vote. You have no idea how important it is. One more vote. You can't push Torah away today. Torah has reinvented itself on the Israeli scene. As the modern Hebrew aphorism goes, Oto Giveret Bishinu Yaderet. Aware of it? Oto, same lady, different clothes. Or if I can quote Rebbe, if I quote the Rav, we have to take that old Jewish lady. Committed lady. A heart of Torah. And we have to dress her in modern, attractive clothes. Look at Reb Moshe Tzvineria. Look at Reb Aryeh Bina Sofsky, known to you as Reb Aryeh Bina. Look what they accomplished. Look at Belz. I got news for you, Morty. Belz is no longer a Hasidus from the old country. It's a modern Israeli Hasidus today. Look at Ger. You ever walk with Ger on the street? Say Reitnish Yiddish. Charlie, what language do they speak to each other? Beautiful, modern Hebrew. Slowly but surely. Take Panovich, take Chevron. Chevron, you take it, not me. Netta Barzilai won the Eurovision. They were dancing on the streets here in Givet Mordechai. They woke up the whole neighborhood. You know what went on. The Rosh Yeshiva wanted to throw him out. Rosh Yeshiva happens to be my blood relative. One day I'm going to walk in and look for him and give him Shalom Aleichem. We're both cousins of Rabbi Revel, Kalvariski's. But what does it show you? They're integrating. You can't push religion away. Wherever you turn, people with kippot. My grandson said to me, he guarantees me, that within our lifetime we will see the Ramat Kal with the kippot. He said, it's inevitable. Look what these are the fighting people. These are people who don't have that ability to be geniuses and invent infrared, what goes on tanks and night sight. And remember, my grandson is second generation weapons development. My son-in-law worked and won the highest awards on Merkava 2, Merkava 3, night sight, graduate of Machon Lev. My grandson now is working on Merkava 5. They already told him what he's responsible for. He's a very bright kid. You can ask Herbie Maltz, knows him. So, Baruch Hashem. The tremendous problem is Geirut. We have a tremendous problem here in Israel, probably created by Agudat Yisrael. Now, Charlie, you were here at the time. Can you buy pig in Israel today? Absolutely. Do you know why you can buy white meat in Israel? Because Agudat Yisrael was bought off. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Check it out, gentlemen. Do an article, do a doctorate, do research. The early 80s, Agudat Yisrael introduced outlawing the growing and sale of pig in neighborhoods that have few or little Israeli Christian Arabs. That law would have carried a tremendous majority because you're dealing with second generation Mapainikim who still understood what Chazar is to a Jew. How many Jews gave their life in the Holocaust and wouldn't be Chazar? Right or wrong? Well, Mizrag, that's the Treif kibbutz that manufactures Basal Lavan, it's a multi-million dollar industry. You're not allowed to buy anything in Tiv Tam. They're the ones that sell the Mizrag product. People don't know that. They have supermarkets today. Tiv Tam, for, in Rakefet's opinion, totally forbidden to buy there. Even a bottle of Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola. They put tremendous pressure on Menachem Begin. He came to Parish, and I couldn't believe, I still suffer. I suffer. I have no value outside of Torah. Believe me, I wish I had other values, but I don't. I suffer. They bought Parish off with money. Chinuch Atzmai was then monthly budgeted, will go up, this, that. The bill was withdrawn. Had that bill been passed at that time in the early 80s, every Russian would have known he can't get Chazar in Israel. My feeling is hundreds of thousands, 200,000 would have gone to America, Australia, Canada, elsewhere. Chazar, staple of life for a Russian guy. Read the testimony in Rabbi Gorin's Heter of the Langer children, why the original husband was considered non-Jewish, what he ate in Haifa, etc. Read it, read the documents, study it, read, study Chelek Gimel, Rakafet Aharon. Wow. The bill was not passed. Chazar remains available, even more so. And now we have 450,000 Russian goyim in Israel. Because of their numbers, they're totally at home. Who has to convert? Who has to be part of the crowd? Totally at home. Russian TV channel, Israeli. Russian newspapers. Russian values. No religion whatsoever. Religion, very famous refuseniks. And remember, I moved in the higher circles. I found out something. I'm very moved by it, but it's not for public knowledge. Baruch Hashem, if you go to the top names you know from Russian Jews and mention Rakefet, you're going to get a grade A plus report. And one of the most famous, I don't want to mention the name, maybe the grandchildren, Chazru B'tshuva, she said to me, it's the 80s, Rabbi Rakefet, how can an intelligent man like you believe in this primitive stupidity? Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha, the heart of our existence. And now you have the whole question of conversion. And here the question has gotten much more intensified for one very simple reason. The Haredim are now part of Israeli society. At one time, the chief rabbinate could paskin like Rabbi Uziel, who was a tremendous maker. What is Kabbalat Mitzvah? What's involved? I take you back to Gris Kolil 30, 40 years ago. That dummy Rakefet gave a whole year, maybe more than a year, on Geirut. Eli, I'm not an Amaritz on the topic. Believe me. What is Kabbalat Mitzvah? How much? What do we require? And the old question, Dov, you ever in the rabbinate, you saw the people converted, all right, they keep a kosher home, they're Machalos Shabbos. They're Jews, but why do they have to do more? And how many Jews do we know who are Machalos Shabbos, Ochlein, Nebedet, and Trefer, and they're Jews? And these are tremendous questions. Kolzman, the chief rabbinate, had people, Mizrachi Ilk, Torah V'Avoda, Today, two-thirds of the chief rabbis is in the hands of Shas, Agudat Yisrael, right or wrong. They're part and parcel. 50 years ago, Chas v'Chalila, Rabbi Grossman of Migdal HaEmek did not run to be chief rabbi because he didn't want, Charlie didn't want to hurt his father's feelings. You heard about that? You read about it? His father was Agudat Yisrael, anti-chief rabbinate from the real McCoy. And here's the thing, he didn't run to honor his father. Today, honor, shmana, they're all running the deal. What are you talking about? Look what happened with Rabbi Aryeh Stern, the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. No, am I the only one who knows the news? Morty, what happened to him last week? Went to his office and he was locked out. Shas, it's beyond words. And if you know Rabbi Stern, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life, Edel, Adin. Oh my, am I right or wrong? You know him. You know him. I know him. God, it's frightening to me. People, the Torah is only a facade with many people. Ellie, if you meet two or three Rebbeim in your life that are cool the Torah, you're doing okay. Got it? Two or three. I don't want to say more. It hurts me. When I'm talking about I suffer. Well, this issue came up already in the late 80s. And at that time, Haredim were not that powerful, but already were on the map. And the government, struggling with it, came up with the idea, a joint basin. Who remembers? What does that mean? To prepare them for the conversion, Orthodox, conservative, reform rabbis will teach. And then there'll be a conversion that will be done only by Orthodox people. In other words, the form and the norm. The form, the halacha, mila, mikveh, some type of Kabbalat mitzvah, becoming Jewish. The norm, pluralism. Do you remember this or not? I lived it. Headlines, struggle, 89, 90. Who is in favor? Rabbi Louis Bernstein. Who is in favor? Rabbi Norman Lamb. They cited Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. The battle was bloody. By that time, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik was the leading personality, the leading figure in Yeshivas Reb Yitzchok Chanan. And he came down on Rabbi Bernstein. Rabbi Bernstein was president of RCA. I believe it was the second presidency. And the fight was beyond words. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik warned the yeshiva, warned Rabbi Bernstein, the RCA, that he will condemn them in public if it is acquiescence to a proposal of a joint panel with the non-Orthodox. By permitting the Louis Bernstein had circulated a letter strengthening his position, explaining his position. Supposedly the letter were for your eyes only, and Rabbaran wrote a letter in response, and Louis Bernstein condemned him by permitting the circulation of your letter. You have served the purpose of condemning the Rabbinical Council of America, which should be your mainstay. It was a published document before we saw it. No one would be surprised if that letter appears in the press next week. And boy, when Louis Bernstein gets into a fight, he took on Reb Aaron. David Hollander. Absolutely opposed. 100%. Here's a letter he writes to Rabbi Ephraim Stern, whose son is one of our Talmidim by internet. And he writes to Rabbi Ephraim Stern and warning him, the man who is the executive director of the Young Israel, from the November 89 minutes, the president and the executive vice president attended a meeting with the conservative reform representatives for the purpose of discussing various problems on the Gayrus issue. And you see, the RCA, the membership, the rank and file out there struggling all over America, certain degree Canada, reform, conservative. Rabbi Bernstein had support. Rabbi Lamb had support. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, furious. David Hollander, totally in motion. I have spoken to several members of the Rabbinical Council of America who are recognized as outstanding Talmidei Chachamim by all Orthodox rabbis. This is David Hollander speaking. They are strongly opposed to any dialogue and or negotiations leading to any joint effort by Orthodox rabbis with conservative reform clergy on Gayrus. Notice, Orthodox rabbis, conservative reform clergy. Rashi Yeshiva at Yeshiva University, most of whom are members of the RCA, signed a statement in which they too oppose any joint panel with conservative and reform spiritual leaders on Gayrus. I have therefore decided to ask a number of RCA members, including yourself, to help rescue RCA and hence Orthodox Judaism by urging the RCA administration to discontinue any dialogue or negotiations on Gayrut with representatives of the conservative and reform movement. I need not tell you this was a battle royal. The Rav Lo Aleinu was already out of commission, still alive, but shuttered up in a room with an aide in the Twesky home. And God bless Atara and Yibada L'chaim, and let's remember Yitzchak Isidore, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. They took very good care of the Rav. In life, it's very sad. Parents give their neshama away to take care of kids. And then you see later in life, parents need help, and the kids are busy, busy with their children and their grandchildren, I understand it. But it's a bit of the tragic existence of father, mother, son and daughter. This is why Rakefet says you need a mitzvah of kibbutz avim. Look at the Gemara in Kedushin, Tana Rabbanan, Marze Kibir Aviyem, Mach Machilo, Mashkeo, Mach Miso, Motzio, Malbisho. No, read it again a little differently. What did your mother and father do for you when you were an infant? Mach Miso, Motzio. What do you need a mitzvah for? Pay back the debt. But the trouble is we get involved in so many other things, in Freud, and you know, my father this, my mother this. Before you know it, if you wouldn't have a mitzvah of kibbutz avim, we'd leave our parents on the street and run away. And this battle was quite a battle. There was no dominant figure. You see, even Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, Many RCA members listened, respected him, but walked away and didn't listen to him. There was no dominant figure. You'll take the YU Rosh Yeshiva at that time, all right? Rav Heschel Shechter already was a personality, Rav Mordechai Willig, Rav Nissen Albert, others, but no dominant figure. I know Rav Heschel spoke at an RCA convention, so a student told me, a very prominent rabbi later becomes president of RCA. He said, Rebbe, you should know, Rav Heschel, your friend Rabbi Shechter said this, I think he's it, I don't want to repeat the word. I was ready to walk out, I only didn't walk out, I told the rabbi sitting near me, when our Rebbe, Rabbi Rakefik, will find out, he'll feel bad. That's why we didn't walk out. I was covered for you, he said to me. I said, look, you walk out, Machlaikis, I know this Machlaikis, but the man is a great Talmud Chachamim. Respect his opinion. You don't have to necessarily agree or totally agree. All right. This joint basin could not get off the floor. It was originally proposed by Rabbi Wagner from Denver, Colorado. Rabbi Wagner himself is an interesting story. He was rabbi of the biggest Orthodox shul in Colorado, which essentially was a conservative temple with an Orthodox base medrash. We've spoken about it before. This was the shul. He was struggling in Denver. He did have something there with a joint based in, and from what he did in Denver, it carried through to an international proposal. But by 1989, 1990, it couldn't get off the floor. The agitation against synagogue council was very strong. The results of the 1956 Chayrim of the Rosh Yeshiva, the 11 Rosh Yeshiva, in 1956, maybe 20% of the Orthodox Jews identified with the Chayrim. By 1989, I would say 70%. A number of years later, what was it, 1996 or 94? I think it was 96. We'll get to it, the exact date. Synagogue Council goes out of business. By that time, 80% of the Orthodox Jews agreed. And it couldn't get off the floor. What should be researched is Rabbi Norman Lamb's position. Rabbi Norman Lamb was not Rabbi Louis Bernstein. Louis Bernstein was more left. Rabbi Norman Lamb was truly a centrist, a term which he coined, and a Talmud Chacham. And what was his position? How did he think you could work out a Kabbalat Mitzvah if the people preparing you for Kabbalat Mitzvah, what mitzvah? The Reformed Jew will tell you there's no Shabbos. The Reformed Jew will tell you there's no Kashrut. The Conservative Jew will tell you put an organ in the synagogue at the Shabbos service. Why are we any different than the Beis HaMikdash? Hallelujah. But you all know that they used in the Beis HaMikdash Kinar, Tzutzul, etc. Excuse me? It's a tshuva of Aaron Chorin, the famous tshuva. Hungary. Martyr the organ, make the shmiyat. All right, but Klal Yisrael dismissed it. What was Rabbi Lamb thinking? On the Israeli side, there was a Balabas, a Talmud Chacham, a Yirei Shemayim, who was very powerful politically, Safed at times, Yaakov Neman. I'm sure you've heard of the name, Saha Mishpatim, Yaakov Neman. He too fought along with Rabbi Lamb for the joint basin. What really was Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein's position? Again, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein was not a forceful person. So Rabbi Aaron, in a sense, I can understand, could see two sides to every issue. And maybe he discussed it quite broadly, but they took out of it that he's in favor. I can't accept that. But again, I may be subjective. Need someone objective to come in. It's 30 years already. We're talking 1989 and we're in 2020. What really went on? What really were the positions? What really made this break that Begin couldn't put it through, Nangman couldn't put it through? It would have solved so many problems for them, not for us, for them. Very fascinating. But this was Rabbi Louis Bernstein. This was his heritage. These problems live on until today. We still haven't come up with a proper solution. It's part of the election campaign right now when they speak about the Russians, the lack of Judaism, the lack of Jews, Avigdor Lieberman, the hatred for the Haredim, which is beyond comprehension because his own family became totally frum in Israel, and they say that his son is more Haredi than Tzioni Dati. His daughter is Tzioni Dati. She's in my world. She's a shluchah now to England. She and her husband, the Mizrahi movement, is trying to revitalize itself and have influence all over the world. So she's in England. But the son who just got married, you saw it went on with who should be Masada Kedushin in B'nai Brak. But his hatred of Haredim, I don't have to tell you, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kamayim Apanim Lamayim, if you hate, they hate. It comes right back at you. But the Taisus already in Psachim, remember what Taisus says, which says insight, that at first you hate a person for being a Mechalel Shabbos. Because you hate him, he now hates you. Now that he hates you, the hatred began because of Chil Shabbos, but now you hate him because he hates you. It has nothing to do with Chil Shabbos. And this problem haunts us. There's no easy answer. But if anyone listening could do a master's thesis, it'd be very interesting to know what really happened, what was Rabbi Lamb's position. Maybe these papers can be made public. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, David Hollander and Mori Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, I can understand. It's not a problem, but it'd be interesting. Okay, this is Rabbi Louis Bernstein. Yomo, today's shiur, you will mark off the shiur. Call it the heritage of Rabbi Louis Bernstein, okay? Because what I told you about, I'm just going to touch the surface now and leave it till we meet again. Ellie, 2 weeks' time. What is next Monday?
Election day.
You got to vote. And remember, it's a mitzvah for you the first time you're voting, not just chametz. It's matzah and chametz. I admit, it's two together, but at least it's partially matzah. And put on the matzah some chocolate spread. So it should taste good. Could ever dream, Vic, when you were a kid that you'd have chocolate spread kosher le Pesach, Eder Charedit. Milepta chasa shintag. And I asked Agudat Yisrael's forgiveness for my language.
It might be usher because the Shemir did not show
safe. Right. That's a different story. The oil that they use, it'll have a big red thing. Gentlemen, we're continuing to the history of RCA. You get a good feeling, you know what's going on, the right, the left, joining everyone together. The biggest problem when RCA gets off the floor, and we're going back now to the late 30s into the 40s, into the early 50s. Tell me, if a Jew walks into this room with a long beard and payas, and rabbinic clothes, do you feel second rate? You look at Rakefet, Rebbe. Look at this wonderful looking Jew. I've been told more than once by people who kowtow to what is politically correct. I've been told more than once by Balabatim and Rabbanim. Wow, You're too honest. You don't bow to anyone. Some people see a Haredi Rabbanim, they think who knows what. All right, I think Menachem Parish and Chaza. I think the blocking out of the Chafetz Chaim's wife in that picture, I don't count out to anyone. I love Talmidei Chachamim, Yireim Ushleimim. I love them. But just because you're from the black world and dress black and act black, I don't bow to you. But that's Rakefet. When someone tells me that, I'm complimented. I remember Baba said, well, you know, you come out so strongly, your opinions, you don't bite your tongue. I sometimes I don't understand it. You speak about homosexuality, and it was told by from people, it's not politically correct. Well, if it's not politically correct, we have to close down the Torah. It's unbelievable what's going on in the world. When RCA began, who were the members? These were all American graduates. Smicha was achieved 2/3, 80% perhaps, yeshivas from Tzchol Hanan. The other 20%, the Hebrew Theological College, known to you as Skokie today. There was no one else giving smicha in America. RJJ, MTV, Chaim Berlin. They were just beginning with more advanced study. MTV was the first one to achieve a base medrash and give smicha. That already was... MTV. Mesifta Teferet Torah Vadas. Mesifta Torah. MTV. No, MTJ was always a small player on the American scene. Reb Moshe was infinitely more than MTJ. You follow? Whatever the reasons. He, as the Rav said, they should call him the Rav and call me the Rosh Yeshiva. But MTV, Torah Vadas, by the 30s already is giving smicha, it's on the map, they bring Rav Shlomo Hyman over. That's a direct result of Shishpas Khanan and bringing over the Soloveitchik family. But these American rabbis, the Agudas HaRabbanim, threw them out head first. Right or wrong? Amei Haaretz. Big deal. He learned a few simanim in Yoredeya. I got smicha in Velazhen. I got smicha in Kovna. What I got? Dalit Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. What kind of smicha? What rabbanim? What do they know? And the truth is that the American standard at that time was not the standard of today. Today we turn out rabbanim, talk about Yeshiva University, reads, you turn out first-rate learners who can become great Talmidei Chachamim. I don't say a kid of 24, 25 is already a great Talmid Chacham, but the ability is there. He knows how to learn. He knows how to go further. And today you've turned out, let Jack feel happy, his cousin by marriage, first cousin, Michael Rosenzweig. He has a son already, right? One of his sons, I'm told, is a giant of Torah. He's also teaching in YU. Today you've turned, Rav Heschel Shechta. Today you don't have to feel second rate, believe me. Even a dummy like myself, I hate to tell you, I've said more than once, I deserve to have my face smacked. But when it comes to Paskin and Shaila, I can do better than some of my rebbeim from Mir and Rotten. I don't know myself how to paskin. I'm quoting some of my rebbeim. Baruch Hashem. I don't say I could paskin a shaila. When Charlie knew me in YU, and we walked in the halls together, what was it, late 60s, right or wrong?
Early
60s. Early 60s. Oh, Charlie, you're my age already. What can I do? Early 60s, I knew something, but very little. Today, Baruch Hashem, over the years. So you see, when RCA began, there were a flock of shaylas that rabbis had. They're out in the field. Who did they turn to? They turned to the Agudas HaRabbanim. A shayla dapun fregen, are you the payish rav, as can good learn him. Ellie, you know Yiddish? Terrific. It's a mentality. I can understand it. I know one idiot that said in public so many times, Torah ended in America the day that Rabbi Soloveitchik switched to Yiddish.
To English.
Thank you for keeping me awake. But think what I said. Whatever, Kefet's an idiot. Yeah, but then understand what I said. There's no question that sooner or later all of Torah would be in English. Today you go to Lakewood, no one speaks Yiddish there. It's all in English. Maybe there's a shir or two left in Yiddish. I don't know. Probably. Go to Mir. Everything is in Hebrew. All right, they have Yiddish, English, French, Spanish, Russian. But that's for the newcomers, the Charlie-come-latelys. The major shirim are in Hebrew. Oto geveret bishinui aderet. But this takes time. And originally, even by the early 50s, when RCA had a paskin, most of the rabbis laughed and said, no, that's not for us. Who are we? Azaz Shaila, Dafman Games of the Agudas Rabbanim. And we're going to see how Psak picks up in RCA and becomes a reality. And there are two names we're going to talk about. Reb Simcha Levi and Mori Rebbe, Reb Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. So to reiterate, first of all, Ani Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was sick. I don't know, this winter I've been sick too many times because I pace myself. I know my age. I'm not a fool. Nevertheless, this thing with the car, with getting out, with being locked in, it took my neshama away. If you would see what's going on, it's just unbelievable. But our block, Vic, they said there's no choice.
That's it.
There's no choice. Sam told me later in the day they had a policeman standing at the corner of Berlin and they wouldn't let you in unless you could show them you lived on the block. So I hope today when I go home that policeman is there. That will give me confidence. Ani modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani modeh. I have a wonderful wife, takes care of me. Good children, grandchildren, and even better great-grandchildren. Ellie, I have already a great-grandson learning Gemara. So, Al Yehei Dovezeh Kalbe Einecha. But what did we speak about today? All right, it was an important shiur. I mean, this is what happened. This is the truth. I do say I'm very subjective. I was in the rabbinate. I don't have to apologize. It's not that I wouldn't be nice if a Reform rabbi or a conservative rabbi sat down here and wanted to study with me. Gesunte hate. But Torah's Torah. Louis Bernstein, two incidents which it really colors the picture. Rabbi Shapiro, I remember that well, although I lived in Israel, but I remember from afar, following, and he went ahead and the majority of the executive board went with him. But the joint base in his major, that was in every newspaper, widely discussed, and we still suffer from that problem. I have a lot of freebies. We'll come to that. The Ktuva will come too. But that's the joint base then in America, which is a much smaller scale than Israel. We'll talk about it. We're going to reach it. But the Israeli one, Louis Bernstein, that's major, major. We'll get there. But Zelichud v'Zelichud, what you're talking about is the early 50s. This is 1990, let's say. It's a different story. Okay. Ellie, give this to Effie. If anyone wants this, this is a letter from the Rav to Rabbi Rachman. I'll tell you what this is about. This appears in the volume that my Talmud, Nadi Hafkat, put out of the Rav's letters, the Tercentenary Celebration, if I'm pronouncing it right. It was 300 years, Jews in America, 1954. And Rabbi Rachman was then president of the RCA. And it deals with a special prayer that was being prepared, or was prepared, by the Synagogue Council of America. And he turned to the Rav. You see, they had a deep relationship. Turned to the Rav if he could use the prayer. You see what the Rav responds and the ideas he gives him. This is an early article of Rabbi Rachman, one of his best articles ever. Appeared in one of the early traditions. Arrogance of humility in prayer. And he deals with our prayer and what Reform and Conservative have done. Here's the article that made me say, vote for Tav. My daughter's handwriting is on it. Read this. Ben Yitzhar LeBeitar. Beitar is Haredi, Yitzhar is not. Very good article.
Published where?
Friday, last Friday.
Where?
Makor Rishon. This article, this is from Yisrael Hayom. It's the magazine section, Friday. Is it this Friday? No, it's a week ago Friday. It's about an American family that every kid came and served in the army. And lo aleinu, one of the sons, after he's out of the army, is killed in a car accident. But everyone is here now. The parents came in Aliyah. And I'm pointed by the picture of the father. I know him. Who is he? Burstein. I taught a Burstein, Ozzy, but he's here many years already. Buzzy Burstein. If anyone can tell me how I know this man, I'll appreciate it. Here's another article in a freebie of a week ago, Beka Chayel. You read this article, you cry. Haredi kids who come into the army and their parents disown them. And what one Jew in Kiryat Arba started, how home and home, they rent and these kids have a home to come to. They're off for Shabbos, they come back. Shabbos meals, friends. This was sent to me by my dear students, Marty and Ella, Dr. Martin and Ella Norlips from Toronto. A Catholic, a Protestant, a Muslim, and a Jew were in a discussion during a dinner. Catholic, I have a large fortune. I want to buy Citibank. Protestant, I am very wealthy and buy General Motors. Muslim, I am a fabulously rich prince. I intend to purchase Microsoft. Then they all waited for the Jew to speak. The Jew steers his coffee, places the spoon neatly on the table, takes a sip of his coffee, looks at them, and casually says, I'm not selling. This book came out, and I agree with my Talmud Nachum Shmayahu that this is idiocy. This is a picture of Auschwitz. Here's where it says Abed Machfrei, and he put on Chatora Hi Chayenu. That is in very bad taste. This is the death camp. Chatora Hi Chayenu in the death camp. Yeah, he's writing about, the book is about the Jews who had Mesiris Nefesh and learned Torah and Davened. That's beautiful. But don't put Chatora Hi Chayenu in place of Abed Machfrei. The young man who came to class last Sunday, Steve Glazer, if you want to know what they're doing... In America, if anyone would be called Stephen, they'd laugh him out of the room. Toronto, that's like in the English, they're very formal. Stephen Glazer. Remind me until I become second. So if you want to know what it's doing, it's here. Okay. If anyone wants the latest Mayan, you're welcome to it. beautiful article in the Mayan on how I know the story, Max Nordau. Max Nordau came from a Haredi home, Rabbanim, Rashi Yeshiva. He became totally assimilated. He married a Goya. How did he come back? And he never divorced her. She never converted. But yet he came back to Jewish identity, very active in the Zionist movement. He could never be president. They said, you're married to a Goya. He was a high officer, but not president. So had Max Nordau tells the following story. As soon as I read this when I was a kid in his biography, translated into English, he was a very top doctor in Paris. And this poor Jewish woman came to him, and her son, kid, comes in with a beard, with payas, and the mother with payas, he didn't have it, he was a little kid, and the mother apologizes and says, my husband is very frum, this is the child that he insists on raising, and the doctor examines him, and something perks up in the doctor, and he says to the kid, What are you learning? And the kid says he's learning about the death of Rachel Imenu and how Yaakov has to apologize to his son for burying her where he buried her, off the beaten path. But the kid quotes the Rashi that when the Jews will return, it's because she'll be davening for them and she'll be there when they return. And this kid changed Nordau's life. He said, if this little kid can worry about the Jews in exile and dream about a return, I have to become active for my people. And that's how he came back to Yiddishkeit. Beautiful, beautiful quote, beautiful story. This deals with baseball. You all know what went on, the big scandal. Notice, none of the players were punished, only the administration. Is that right? There's been a tremendous counterattack on Rob Manfred, who's also Jewish, that he didn't publish the players. This is about how the Lubavitcher Rebbe was hooked up to the whole world. Ellie, you were here yesterday. You met the people who came, the Rifkins. It's their relative who hooked up the Rebbe to the whole world. This is a sad story, Muncie, Spring Valley. 7 plead guilty in yeshiva scam to the Vertec dollars. Millions and millions of dollars. They're going to pay back some. They're going to go to jail. But because they're paying back, they'll go easy on them. This is Dr. Jacob Ackerman. I think I've interacted with him from Queens about his bar mitzvah, the influence of the Rebbe on his life. Beautiful little story. This is what we spoke about in the Sunday Shir. FDA approves drug that lowers cholesterol in a new way. This is for anyone that the cholesterol pills are not helping now. They have something new. This is a simulation. The Lower East Side gave the world 8 of the most famous songs ever. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, etc. Very fascinating. New York Times. This is what you have to reprieve on. LGBTQ students file complaint against Yeshiva University. Kate Waldman and Stephen Miller wed at Trump Hotel. The ambassador to Israel, his rabbi, his Chabad rabbi, performed the wedding. I wonder whether these people are Shema Mitzvot. Rabbi Aryeh Lightstone was a senior advisor to David Friedman. And although they both worked for Trump, Kate Rose Waldman and Stephen Miller, they never met. They were put together, set up, and it worked out. This is very fascinating if you have any knowledge of what comes on in New York and Kew Gardens Hill. In Democratic Shift, Bukharin's remaking Kew Gardens Hills. And Rakefet says they saved the neighborhood. Houston Astros on Halacha. Are you allowed to cheat? This is something I spoke about many years ago. Fascinating. He quotes the right sources. Interested, Rav Menashe Klein's biography. Chabad. And this is on the Rebbetzin cake and juice with royalty, the Holzman family, their relationship with the Rebbe's wife. Former Chassid's, this famous Chassid's descendant, discovers Yiddishkeit. Very interesting who this guy descends from. A top lawyer, famous Chicago, never married, but rediscovered his Yiddishkeit, was in touch with the Rebbe. A Tale of Two Solomons, 1 second. This is about Rabbi Meir Shimon Moskowitz, and he's the one who discovered this Chabadnik with all the Yichus and brought him back to some Yiddishkeit. A Tale of Two Solomons, referring to his great-grandfather and he. Very interesting with pictures. The Rebbe responding to a woman who was worried that a Mahashefa put witchcraft into her. This is a kid of Ezra Shochet, had a Rebbe influenced him to become a Talmud Chacham. Stop competing, it doesn't matter what the other fellow is doing, just learn. This is in Yonah Dioma, the Tel Aviv professor who became the first woman to win the Israeli Prize in Talmudic Studies, Professor Vered Noam. This is the Hasidic women, the Shluchat Conference, take a look, 3,000 women. This is unbelievable, the Boy Scouts of America and the sexual problems there. The Boy Scouts are declaring bankruptcy because they're being sued for endless millions of dollars. I don't know. The world is sick. The world is sick. I don't get it. Homosexuality. I told you, it reached the point. I came back from the cult one Friday night. I'm at my daughter and my grandson saw this upset. It's about 10 years ago. I said, of course, I'm said, open your diyar. I'll give you your diyar after Shabbos. Open it. There was investigative reporting of something that happened at Michola. And my daughter knew about it. And I knew, I read the article. I couldn't believe it. The person who blew the whistle on the faculty was my own student. And Michola fired her. And she went to labor court. That's how the newspapers found out. Anyway. So they did the investigative, as my grandson says to me, Saba, why are you upset? At least there was a man and a woman. I said, God, you're right. At least there was a man and a woman. I was furious. This, two of the same were printed out. This is by someone I met when I was in Scarsdale, if I'm not mistaken. And he's an Einigel of the Kutzka. The same name, Morgenstein. And it's a stories about his great-great-grandfather. This is about Rebbetzin Shlomim of Chevron. She walked between the raindrops. This is Chabad, owned Chevron II, 1929. This is with Bloomberg, the judge in the Stop and Frisk case, Shira A. Shindin. Evidently, this is an op-ed piece. So even though she was the judge and criticized Bloomberg, she says he's not a racist. He was trying to stop crime in New York. By the way, New York, they say, is so dangerous now, you got to walk with bodyguards. This is the idiot from Muncie who stopped the New York, the Hanukkah party stabber. He was given a $20,000 reward, and he refused it, because it was given by the Jewish Federation, and he won't take money from people who support the Zionist state. What the article doesn't tell you is that the Satma people came up with, the Naturakata came up with $20,000, and they gave him a reward instead. And this takes me back to 1951, when I was crying like an idiot that Joe DiMaggio was retiring. If I can't play like Joe DiMaggio, I know it's time to retire. Del Topping offered him $100,000 to sign a contract just for the gate, what it would bring in. He knew he couldn't play, but the gate, whatever, it's all hit $250. And DiMaggio turned it down. Charlie, I cried like an idiot. You know why an idiot? I found out decades later when the memoir literature came out The mafia made a dinner for the show and gave him a $100,000 check or cash under the table for the pride he brought to the Italian people. And finally, I'm very proud, cork sink machine invented is now being used to treat coronavirus patients in China. Invented by Dr. Eliezer Be'eri, who you see here treating a child with a kippah on his head. My dear friends, I want to remind you once again that next week we will be doing a mitzvah, that's chatzi chametz, chatzi matzah. We can learn shnei dinim, which is the more important part of the mitzvah, but if you cover it with chocolate spread, no question the chametz, the matzah, defeats the chametz. I want to thank you very much for your kind participation. The week afterwards, we pick up normal on Sunday. Monday is Tainit Esther, so I'll begin at 9:15. That way, Dov, you can drive, B'menucha Tanefesh, finish Slichas. Mori, if you want to come to my shul, 530 Minyan, they don't say Slichas. But whatever the reason is, a bunch of Goyim. And this is a tradition already. It was abolished at the 530 Minyan back in 1934. You understand? So you can't even fight with them. I try to make the Minyan 5:45, so it should be Lachatchila, after Zman, Kedei Lachavchin. And they gave me again, since 1934, and soldiers that have to leave early. The last soldiers I saw dominating at the Minyan were my nephews. That was about 10, 15 years ago. To me, Ellie, special regards to your wife. How do you, with Zocha, to a lady like that, responsible, Tamida Chachama? I peeked in upstairs, someone was teaching, I don't want to mention name, an important Talmud Chacham. She was the only student. Upstairs was the Midrashia program, but she's taking advantage of what you have in this building. Understand me? I salute her. And maybe I have a share in it. I taught her mother, I taught her father. Could be. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya.
You said that you were talking about the construction and how it makes it hard on us.
Yeah.
I say once, there's a Rabbanim, a Rachamav, a Shalai, a Kalmim, we're all waiting for the Amen.
We're all waiting for the Merachamav.
No, the Amen, when the construction's finished. Did you not say that once?
I think I spoke on the Merachamav. One second. Does anyone see a second recorder here?
Well, sitting here.
Yeah.
What do I do?
I saw it sitting here.
I must have covered it off.
There's a shocker.
You can take everything. Everything
was inside. I was in yeshiva with somebody named Ezra Shachet. And I wanted to say, where is Ezra Shachet? Ezra Shachet was a genius of geniuses.
This is strange. Did anyone see the...
Is this yours?
You can have it. You can have it.
It's got to be right.
Send it a quarter?
There it is. Morty, it's under. Okay, Yomo.